It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. This, I do not recognize this from the Goonies soundtrack.
It's from the Goonies soundtrack.
Okay, what artist is this?
Oh, so let's see when we get the voice hits.
Interesting. Is this Luther Vandross?
It is.
What? Luther Vandross cut a track for Goonies?
He sure did.
What's the name of this song?
It is She's So Good to Me.
What part of the movie is it in?
I couldn't
with some
you.
Girl somewhere.
And maybe it's in the there's no way this is in the movie. I would remember.
It could have been in the credits, maybe.
Yeah, I would remember this, but maybe it's been a while. Wow. That is fantastic. I did not know Luther Vandross was on the nobody knew that. It's on the Goonies soundtrack. That's why I love the musically themed days of the week. You learn something new. That's when midweek movie music is when Patrick plays jams from a soundtrack based on those selections. Hard not supposed to gather clues and hints, breadcrumbs that lead us to the featured film of midweek movie music. And we got it this week. It was the Goonies. We got it pretty early on, but I had no idea that Luther
You didn't know you was going to get Luther at this part.
Luther?
Yeah.
I would have lost so many bets. Luther Vandross on the Goonies soundtrack?
Yeah. That's what I was saying. It's one of those things where the songs themselves are not really well known. But all the artists are pretty well known.
Cyndi Lauper, I know, was like
Cyndi Lauper.
She was in a movie.
Yeah. Yep. And then the Bangles, REO Speedwagon was big.
Tina Marie. Oh wow. Okay. Yeah. I guess of its time. You try to think about the time that it came out. Yeah. They got a lot of hot artists of the time too. Yeah. I guess they didn't know Luther was going to be so. He was going to stand the test of time.
Yeah.
Cyndi Lauper. She was on We Are the World. I don't know how she got on there.
No, she was huge, though.
She got on We Are the World.
She was huge for a while.
Time. Yeah. No. I mean, I still remember Cyndi Lauper very well. So, yeah, she did have her time. Okay. There you go. Shout out to my man, Patrick, working hard behind the scenes, directing and also DJing our midweek movie music edition of Ball Don't Lie. All right, I want to get into some Cowboys minicamp notes here. Also, NFL possibly investigating other violators of their gambling policy. And we'll take the break early because I want to get to the news about the college football game.
Yeah.
We'll do that next segment.
Sure.
So we'll dive back into the A&M discussion. We'll play the sound from Billy Lucci on Paul Feinbaum. We'll dive into that discussion, but also we'll have discussion about the college football game that may not happen now, which is sad news because everybody was really excited about it. Also, people are really excited, Harge, about the Dallas Cowboys because they started their mini camp this week, and a couple of notes from the mini camp and a lot of discussion about the Dallas Cowboys offensive line.
Yep.
In the mini camp, because basically, Terrence Steele, still no pun intended, dealing with the injury, and Mike McCarthy just revealed he may not be ready for training camp. They want to take it really slow with him, and they can afford to actually.
Mm-hmm.
They can afford to take it slow with him because Tyler Smith is way ahead of schedule, and he provides so much versatility. Speaking of versatility, they are cross training almost every offensive lineman except for Tyler Biadasz and Zach Martin. They are your starting right guard and center, but every other position and every other offensive lineman being cross-trained. I got them here for you. I took notes and I got them from a lot of different sources. So Matt Wiletzko is playing right tackle. He's working at right tackle and left guard.
Mm-hmm.
Tyron Smith is working at right tackle mostly, but they also have worked him at left tackle, of course, because he's playing both. Matt Forniak, he is working, and also him and Chuma Edoga.
Yep.
Is that his name? He's working left guard. They're both working left guard, but also Matt Forniak's working center, too.
I like it.
Josh Ball's working right guard and right tackle. They also had Matt Fournier get some reps at right tackle, too.
Putting in that work.
Man, they are. Everybody's cross-trained. I love it. I think it's fantastic. This is the time to do it.
They have 89 people on their roster right now because they just signed a defensive end, former defensive end for TCU. Benigo. He used to play with the Colts.
Yes, I know the name. Yes.
Yeah, Ben Biyombo. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
They just signed him too. So going back to your offensive line story though, you sit here and you wonder how the cross training is going to go. Remember last year, Tyron Smith came back and played right tackle.
And they also had what's his name? The OG from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh yeah. Golly. Oh, you wouldn't have said it. I would have had it, too.
I know.
Gosh,
I apologize. Jason Peters. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah.
But they had him, too. He's not there anymore.
Yeah.
So he's off.
Changing the game a little bit. And maybe that's why they're doing it. They saw how important and how crucial it is for a lot of these guys because they ended up having to play musical chairs on the offensive line anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So they just figured, let's go ahead and start getting these guys part of it right now
and
be ahead of the game. Especially because we're going to be running the ball a lot, supposedly, and controlling the game. So why not go ahead and get everybody in place because you were being proactive instead of reactive to what they saw last year?
I agree with that. I think you're right. That's a good point that they inevitably believe they're going to be in this situation for one of those O-line
spots.
So why not now start manufacturing depth and at least now you'll know who your best guards are regardless of the position. Like, no, this guy actually is our second best guard, even though he's our backup tackle or whatever it may be. And that probably is going to be Tyler Smith because Tyler Smith, Zach Martin, of course, is your starting right guard. But Tyler Smith, ideally, the Cowboys want their best five offensive linemen on the field. That would be Tyron Smith at left tackle, Tyler Smith at left guard, Tyler Biadasz at center, Zach Martin, of course, at right guard, and Terrence Steele at right tackle.
Correct.
That's your five best O-linemen.
That would be my starting. If we were to play today, that would be the starting lineup I would want to walk out there with.
Agreed.
On paper.
And that, to me, that's one of the best O-lines in the league. It really is.
Yep.
Because I think Tyler Smith proved.
He showed a lot.
He showed a lot last year. Proved he's one of the best young O-linemen, and he's worth that first-round pick for the Cowboys. Tyron Smith, yes, aging and often injured at times, too. That's why they're cross-training these guys in manufacturing depth. He still can hold his own out there at left tackle. Still one of the better left tackles in the league, even though he is not at the elite status. His definition of elite where he used to be and the right tackle with Terrence Steele, he's been great for them.
Yep.
But the injury concerns me. He did tear what is ACL, MCL, and MPFL.
Yeah.
He tore like three different things. And he had surgery in, what was it, maybe in December? I'm not sure when that surgery was. But he's still recovering from and may not be ready for training camp. That's what Mike McCarthy said. Okay. They were 28th in pass block win rate last year. I didn't realize that. 4.8% sack rate. That's the highest sack rate for the Cowboys since 2018.
Yeah.
So Dak was under duress last season. And by the way, how about this little stat? Jason Peters, Matt Farniak, and Josh Ball allowed just 2 sacks and 27 pressures between those three players. So a lot of those sacks came from your starters.
Yeah.
Like your key foundational starters. Those guys just have to play better, period. Another nugget from Cowboys training camp. Jalen Tolbert, man, continues to get rave reviews.
Come on, man.
We read the quotes earlier this week that he has been hanging out with Brandon Cooks. Brandon Cooks has taken Jalen Tolbert under his wing and advised him, flush what happened to start your career in basically trying to teach him how to be a professional and how to maximize his talent. He caught multiple touchdowns during red zone 7-on-7 period. So Jalen Tolbert might be that number four wide receiver.
He's trying.
He's trying. Also,
we expect a lot from him.
You don't have a number four wide receiver right now. That, you did sign one.
Thornton. They just signed a new Thornton.
They signed another one?
Yeah. The wide receiver I talked about yesterday.
I thought it was Johnson.
No. Oh, wait.
Did they sign another one?
Tyron Johnson, Thornton. I'm thinking of Tyler Thornton, the one that plays wide receiver for.
Yeah, so they signed. He's a speedster.
Yes, he can fly.
Guy ran a 4.3 coming out of Oklahoma State?
No doubt.
It was Oklahoma State, right?
Yeah.
which is strange because I don't remember him.
I don't remember him at all.
But yes, he is out of Oklahoma State. They signed him earlier in the week. But
his pitcher looked like a mugshot, though. They need to change all that. I mean, come on, man. That ain't Justin Blackman.
Maybe the man. That's a low blow for the man. Yeah, it's a good week for Justin
Blackman. Yeah, it is.
Man.
It is. I'm sorry.
They're nominated
sorry.
For the
I'm
College Football Hall of Fame. Yeah. Man, taking shots at the man. But no, you're a good point. They brought in another receiver because I believe they are also uncertain about who's going to end up taking that fourth wide receiver spot for them. But all the signs right now are pointing to Jalen Tolbert taking a huge step forward. And so far, it's real early on, very premature. He is showing a lot of promise. So that's a good sign for Kyle. And I've heard that from most reports, Patrick Walker, from John Machota, different Cowboys beat reporters have all remarked that Jalen Tolbert taking the next step. You need a wide receiver four.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Jabril Cox. Remember that guy?
Yes,
got hurt
I do.
At LSU, was the best coverage linebacker coming out in the draft, actually.
Yep.
The year he came out, coming out of LSU, loved his game. And he had an injury that his rookie year made it really tough for him to, you know, acclimate to the league. But the Cowboys like him because they like linebackers, i.e. DeMarvion Overshown, that can cover, that are comfortable in space. He had two back-to-back PBUs in the end zone on third and fourth down really got people excited about his return from injury. Now he looks like he's moving a lot more fluidity than he did, obviously, right after injury.
Was that against Cooper Rush?
They did not say.
I wish it was, because that way I don't want nobody talking about Dak.
Yeah, they did. Dak did have an interception versus Stephon Gilmore in 7-on-7.
He baited him
on that one. And CeeDee Lamb had a red zone touchdown versus Diggs. And how about this? Because Tony Pollard's dealing with the injury, Deuce Vaughn got some reps with the ones.
Love it.
In
Love
the red zone 7-on-7.
That ain't going to give us a lot of support, but it's going to give us something for Deuce. You know what I'm saying? Get him that opportunity to get some reps and see what's out there. Because Malik Davis, he was a college free agent. Ronald Jones,
mm-hmm.
He's a free agent as well. Rico Dowdle.
Rico Dowdle, yeah.
Yeah, those guys. Deuce got drafted, so they're going to give him opportunity to go out there and do some things. Another big news that came out. Your man, Boss Man Fats. Boss Man Fats is having the best. This is from Mike McCarthy.
Uh-oh.
Said Kelvin Joseph is having the best offseason since he's been there.
What?
And making the move to slot cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to his rookie season, he missed a lot of time and criticized for immaturity, compared to last offseason. He is now in the good graces of the Cowboys right now.
Listen, I don't call him Boss Man Fats. He's Kelvin.
Kelvin.
Until he shows that he's worthy to be called Boss Man Fats.
Yes.
But I do love that report. I'm a little suspicious of that report. And I'll tell you why. Because this is a time of year when you start pumping up
players
you want to trade.
Yeah.
And you want everybody thinking that, oh, man, Boston Fats is playing really well. And then when his name comes up in the trade, we're like, well, you know what? He's having the best offseason he's ever had. And that's why that's why everybody's talking right now about Trey Lance and how good he looks. have you heard this? That Trey Lance may be the starter now. That Brock Purdy, he may be overtaken because Trey Lance looks unbelievable. All the players coming out saying, he looks so good. Kittle's coming out.
Don't
it's all how good he
bait.
Looks. Yeah, exactly. They are looking to trade Trey Lance. So right now, he's going to look like an NFL starting quarterback, and now I think everybody said he looks like he's worthy of being drafted number 3 overall. Really?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
This is like in the NBA when every team at their offseason is like, he's in the best shape of his career.
Yeah.
Right now, best shape.
He's focused. He is focused, man.
He's coming back. I know you thought he was a little put on a little weight last year. No. You won't even believe it when you see him. Then he shows up and you're like,
he looks the exact same. What are you talking about? It's like, oh, well, he must have gained that in the last couple of days because he's been working really hard other than that. Yeah, so I think Boston Fats probably will improve with a position change. That's what they've done. But when I need to see it in preseason. Just like Trey Lance, and preseason doesn't even mean anything either, as we know.
Right.
They'll show him in preseason and up against
very subpar.
Against competition that is not the best of the best, he may perform better, put that on film, make him more of a tradable asset.
Yeah.
So I see what good for them. Cowboys should be trying to
trade. Smart move.
Yeah, you drafted him in a second round.
Yes.
Got to get something return on that investment. All right, gentlemen, let's take the break here because I want to get to this story from EA Sports, but it's from College Football about the EA Sports College video game and also the sound from Billy Lucci and Aggie. He's a faithful member of the Aggie core, if you will, and he's also the executive editor, I believe, and the co-owner of TexAgs. He went on Paul Feinbaum and had some comments about resuming the Texas-Texan rivalry and where it will resume. We'll discuss that. We'll hear that audio, all that more right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bang, zoom.
Welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. It is a midweek movie music edition of Ball Don't Lie. That's when Patrick, the idillionaire on the show, takes jams from a soundtrack and based on these selections that are played, Harge and I are supposed to gather clues and hints, the breadcrumbs that lead us to the featured film of midweek movie music. And today, The Goonies. Well done.
The Goonies.
Love it, man. Love it. I'm a big fan. Seen it many a time. Did not know the soundtrack had a Luther Vandross track on it. That is wild. None of y'all knew that. Thanks to my man Patrick. Now you know. All right, gentlemen, let's get to this story about the upcoming college football game, the 2024 EA Sports college football video game that's supposed to be coming out. Apparently, it's in a little bit of trouble. There are some reports now, multiple reports out there, that EA has contracted one team partners to facilitate college athletes' likeness, to handle the likeness issue. And a source told On3, the cash pool for athletes was in the $5 million neighborhood, which would pay, I think, the 11,000-something, you know, D1 football players, it would pay them about $500 per player. Sportico is reporting no royalties, just a one-time fee. It's almost like what Players Association gets for the Madden video game. You get like a one-time fee. You don't get like royalties from it. You get like your one-time fee. The vice president of the College Football Players Association, like that's a thing, said that doesn't fly, and they basically have tried to establish what they believe should be a minimum payout for every college player. He said all current players, should boycott this deal. It is an opt-in deal, and they should not opt into it. It is just a ridiculously low amount of money, said the head of the College Football Players Association. He goes on to say, given the context and the hype that surrounds this game, when we first heard the number, we're like, all right, that sounds low. Let's go figure out if it is low, and started talking to guys, talked to some of my friends, some guys who are still playing in the NFL. So what are NFL players getting paid for Madden? And the numbers were given from the 2019 year, and it was disclosed that they got, I think, about $17,000 per player. Now, we know very different business models, so this actually doesn't. This is not comparable. But yeah, that's basically this guy. I think his name is Falcinelli. Hope I got the name correct. Justin Falcinelli. He is encouraging players to protest the new video game until they get higher fees or a higher payout. And On3 is reporting that they have basically done their own research with their own sources. And On3's Andy Witry spoke with multiple FBS players last weekend at the NIL Summit. And one of the most interesting takeaways was that athletes were already having internal locker room conversations about the video game and possible holdouts. There's almost a consensus that $500 is too little for the game's top stars. He said, yes, I can definitely see that, Jalen Daniels said, Kansas quarterback. I could definitely see it, especially with the highest college football players that are in the nation right now, if they're getting paid as somebody who a lot of people really don't know of and they're the most known person in college football. I can definitely see their agent saying, all right, what's going on here? All right, Harge. What are your thoughts, man?
You can use my rights. I ain't played a game up there, but use me. Put my money in it. Now, I do believe that the players, they're...
Is 500 too low?
Absolutely.
Wait. 500 is too low for some players. 500 is way too much for I'd say 60% of college football players.
Well, here's the deal.
That's a great point.
If your name is going to be used on this, that's what they're saying. This is where I would look at it. And I'm not saying everybody deserves to have the same amount of money. I understand that the economics of the NIL and the way
things go. But in the NFL, fair, that is what it is. Everybody gets the same check cut to them.
Right.
Brady doesn't get more than Rod B. Plays social stuff.
Right.
Just in that. But they got their, trust me, Brady.
Does Rod B still get a check?
Brady makes way more. No, you only get the check for the 1 year you're in it.
These are numbers from
a Tom Pelissero tweet from 2020.
Okay.
To give you an idea of Madden money. 27 active player payment is $17,662. 2018 payment is $16,966.
Fluctuates.
And $1,000 for practice squad guys.
Yeah. So, exactly. Because they're not.
It's a one time payment.
The practice squad guys aren't technically on the game, but they could be on it if they're. Yeah.
So
it's, and I'm not subbing you in off the bench.
If you look at a rough number of roughly 60 players per team, because you say 52 is what you're carrying, but 60 for 30 teams, it's roughly $35 to $40 million payout. So it is a bigger payout window than college.
It's not really comparable, honestly.
It's not, though. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So if we're just looking at numbers, though,
that's
a comparison, because the number they give in that. In the story is $28,000, which seems high, because they're like, well, the player association will tell you what it was, and it apparently wasn't that high.
I said the story was $17,000 for the year 2019 they looked at for Madden, for the Madden payouts. But I'll say this. I do think – I don't know exactly if they're being honest and forthcoming about the amount of money that is in the pool for player payouts. They said $5 million is all they have.
Yeah.
And I So something tells me that number could be a lot higher. And I think that's what they're trying to do, is push that number.
Yeah.
Hey, could it be $8 million? And could you know, everybody get, instead of $500, you know, everybody gets, I don't know, $575 or something like that. So I get it. I understand. But to me, as a 40-something-year-old person now, and I remember when I was 20-something-year-old, I probably would have taken the check. Because remember, they paid off all of the players whose likeness they used in the EA Sports college football video game when Ed O'Bannon won his case.
Yes.
All the way back to 2003. Rod B, just last year, was 02. Yeah, so I just missed that. And I think guys were getting like $5,000 or something like that, like $3,000, depending on how many years you played, how many years you're on the game. Back then, if I was younger and 20-something, I probably would have taken the check. Now, honestly, I think I'd rather have my likeness on the game, because I would like, when I'm done playing.
Yes.
Most of these guys, you ain't going to be playing at the next level. Trust me, one of the best keepsakes you can have is you on a video game. You know what I mean? You have to make yourself on the game. No, you were already on an EA Sports video game. So now, 42, going on 43-year-old Rod B, man, give me my 500 and put me on that game.
Yeah.
That's why
I said use my likeness.
Yes. But I didn't grow up in the NIL world. And if I grew up as an NIL baby, I probably want more money. Because NIL would have shown me what I'm worth, my value is.
But if you play for UAB, do you want $500 or do you want no money? Because those are your two options, 500 or none. There is no middle ground. They ain't coming back to negotiate with
you. Not for those guys, right?
And so you say, I get it in one part, because he's right in one part. For Caleb Williams, that is a slap in the face.
Even Quinn Ewers is a little slap in the face.
For most of Texas, for most of USC, for most of Alabama, for most of these big programs, these guys are making big amount of money. You're doing it for the smaller guys on the team. You're doing it for the game of college football. You're doing it for other reasons.
Yeah.
But I get where you could be at. So I think when they're like, we should boycott this, like, man, you're playing with fire.
I agree.
Because you're going to go, hey, man, we got up to $8 million. And then everybody goes, cool, we're still not signing. Like, you realize that $8 million only comes if the Heisman finalist signs.
Yeah.
And if the stars, and if every star signs, then they'll do that. But I can tell you right now, they will go, I'll tell you, you know what? We'll do $5 million. We will only sign the stars. And everyone else will lose all your money.
Yeah, all you guys.
Because we don't care. Because no one's gonna be like, hey, man, I really need that backup left guard. I need him, his name and likeness in there. I need his name. Because I'm playing franchise mode, and he's going to be gone in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like man, where I can play with him, and he'll be on my franchise for 12 years.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
They're going to go out soon. So I get it, but there's a part of it, you're playing with fire of can you really – once you tell the big names to pull out and don't sign, to get him back in is going to cost a lot more money.
We are seeing now more than ever, right? We've seen it with the PGA merger, with the PIF and with LIV. I just gave you the story about Lionel Messi.
Yep.
Guys, sports is about stars. It's about stars. Yep. You got to have the star power. If you don't have the star power, nobody gives a damn. The PIF literally just pulled the okey-doke, right? And had essentially kind of a hostile takeover, a forced merger with the PGA because they started taking their stars. And I think they knew, like, you know, so we keep this litigation going up, Rory's going to leave, and all the top guys is going to take the guaranteed money, and then we're going to look like idiots then.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, it's better for us to just merge. At least we don't look like we can save some face. And enter Miami, they decided with David Beckham, who was also one of those stars.
He was one of the guys that first started. Yeah.
Right, that MLS got, the first true international superstar they got. And they paid, you know, they paid big money for him. But to them, it was worth it. They got the return on their investment because only those stars are going to bring eyes to television sets, put butts in seats. We are a celebrity-driven culture. TMZ is worth I don't know how much because we're obsessed with knowing what every celebrity is going to do at any given moment.
Yeah.
We're just obsessed. And the superstars of sports, they are no different. They're the celebrities of sports, and that they are what makes it tick. And they are what attracts the dollars. And Patrick's right. If they don't get all the big time, and there are like 10 guys in college football right now that could turn the tide of this. The rest of them, pretty much, I'm not trying to be mean, they don't matter. In this conversation.
Yeah,
they don't.
Look, for Texas, if Kelvin Banks is not on there, it's not a deal breaker. If Quinn Ewers and Xavier Worthy are not on there, then people are like, well, why am I playing Texas?
Yeah, because it's fantasy sports. Man.
Yep. Yeah, if Arch Manning's not on there, then people are like, well, that's the only reason I picked because I got freshman Arch Manning on my franchise now.
Texas says the Saudis are going to fund the game and the players. Bro, hey. You talk about pulling a move. Somebody mentioned, like, I was thinking about that too. I was like, man, if they are really serious about truly infiltrating every part of the sports world, why wouldn't they go buy the XFL and one of those startup sports? They just try to go steal a quarterback from the NFL, a couple of them.
Yeah.
You know, like, would it work? I don't think it would work. But
you never know.
Aaron
Rodgers wants to work less days.
Yeah.
Yeah, how many guys in the NFL want to work less and make more?
Tom Brady's coming back.
We're playing every 2 weeks. We're going to go play every 2 weeks.
All
we're going to play 10
stars
games.
Coming back. Yeah, that's but anyway, but I agree with Patrick. I think it's all about the star power in that game. That's what they want. And ultimately, if they don't get that star power, this whole thing could implode. I hope it doesn't. I hope they actually get the game out. And by the way, they want. And I don't know if they're going to do it. They're going to do it. I know they're trying within the algorithm. I've talked to some folks. They're trying to get the transfer portal in there.
Yeah.
That's why they want all the players.
Yeah.
They want a transfer portal in the game, and they're going to put NIL in the game and all this kind of stuff. And it would suck if the transfer portal part of the game wouldn't really hold any relevance if you don't have actual players.
Yeah.
If it's just no-name cornerback being in the transfer portal. No, you want that guy in the transfer portal, the player.
Yeah. You want to have your first offseason and go raid some teams.
Yes, for all their really good players. Yeah. So this would actually hurt that little unique element to the new game, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how the hell they're going to have a transfer portal in the game. It's going to be wild.
It's good. Yeah. It will be fun, though, because you're going to be trying to figure out how you're going to get kids involved and how you're going to get this guy to transfer, like you said, to your school.
But, I mean, they've already.
Where's the NIL money going?
Yeah, the NIL money is going to be crazy, too. How do you make NIL money on the game? How you
Monopoly.
because they've already got recruiting. They had recruiting in the old games. So
yes,
that was
did.
A thing. See,
right.
That's kind of like the transfer portal. It's like, hey. This guy's you got to spend your points and
yeah, that's a good point. They did have recruiting in the last game. Yeah, KD was obsessed with the college football.
Yeah.
One. He would play it still. Like when we were doing the show together, he would go home and play like the
2014,
college football
video.
I swear he was playing like the old one, like the latest one that was out. And he loved it. But it was like, he was like, oh, I'm working on the season. We're in the offseason. We're recruiting right now. Stuff like that. He was obsessed with the damn thing. Okay. We don't have time for the Billy Lucci sound, do we? What time? Is it about 90 seconds?
Yeah, we got time.
Let's play it. Billy Lucci. This is Billy Lucci, one of the Aggie faithful on with Paul Feinbaum, talking about resuming the Texas Tech sin and robbery.
And the big debate, you know, Ross has dug his line in the sand. He's drawn his line in the sand that the first game is going to be played right here across the street at Kyle Field. Chris Del Conte acts like he's not aware of that at all. That's going to be pretty fascinating.
But by the way, why is that for those of us who may have forgotten?
Why is what?
Why does Ross so Sherman-esque about that?
It's pretty interesting. I mean, he's basically said that the league or Sankey have indicated to him that that's where the first game will be played. If you're going to draw that line in the sand, it needs to end up that way. You and I both know that, because if that first game is played in Austin, there's going to be a lot of upset fans.
And Billy, is that because there's still people in Aggie land who feel like they had a belief that this would never happen?
Yeah, I do think that's the crux of it, and that's at the root of it. And it's almost like, hey, you owe us one after all that. And I don't think the SEC would think of it that way. They certainly wouldn't say, hey, we owe you one, we're going to do this. But it sure seems to me like the A&M athletic director has been led to believe that, or even told that that first game is going to be there.
All right, there you go. Hey.
I mean, he was name dropping everywhere because he wanted to make sure, hey, this ain't me talking.
Ross Bjork drew a line in the sand.
Yeah. Then he throws out there, you know, Greg Sankey.
Yeah.
Thinking he probably told him, you know, we're going to be able to do this. Go ahead and run with that story. You know what I'm saying?
For those of us who have forgotten, when did y'all make this up?
Hey, look, I will say this, though. I think we should give it to the Aggies. If you were asking me, if I was CDC, give it to the Aggies. They're the only ones who care about where the rivalry is rekindled.
You know what? Let's give it to them in a big display and just really be like, guys, we do. We want to give it to you. We just want to be friends, guys. You know what? First one's at your place, guys. We are doing it for you.
And you know what?
And just let them really just hate it more.
Exactly. You're right. They would hate it more because they want to believe they earned this somehow.
We gave it to you. We own it. We own it, and we're giving it to you.
Yeah, they believe that they're owed this by the SEC for allowing Texas to come into the SEC, which was their safe haven from Texas when they escaped the Big 12 to go to the SEC to escape the shadow of Texas, and now the shadow is looming. Mm-hmm. So I say give it to the Aggies. You should want to beat the Aggies in their homeland, in Aggieland. So they're the only ones who care. The SEC doesn't care. Texas doesn't care. Nobody cares except the Aggies. So give it to them.
Yeah. I like the plan, though. If we can give it to them, make a big display of it, that like, we have chosen this.
Like the announce, like a press conference?
Yeah. We decided, you know what? Sankey called us. He was like, dude, whatever you want. These guys won't shut up.
Now, that would piss him off.
But I'll tell you what. We told Sankey, you know what? Give it to him. You know what? They deserve it. They've had a hard run of it a few years ago.
If you drop that line that you just dropped, that Sankey gave us the option.
Yes.
That would have been better. Aggieland would burn. They would burn to the ground. They'd be so upset. Oh, they'd be riding in Aggieland for that one. He gave them the choice. It should be our choice.
Which still might happen. We will find out on Wednesday the schedule.
Sankey, don't do that, Sankey. I have to share this city with Aggies. I don't want Aggies that upset. Aggies that upset.
Oh, they're going to be 38, man.
No. Texas is going to basically be like our country was when we couldn't find out who won the election.
How did this happen?
We can't be divided like that.
How did this happen?
It's okay.
The Big Ten is going to be like, Aiden won't stop calling us.
Yes. It's happening.
Okay, we got to get to the break here. We'll come back. We'll wrap it up, put it in the oven right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn.
Pop a top again. You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this
down? Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion. sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really
man,
good.
That's good. That's...
Pop a top again.
All right, welcome back to Ball Don't Lie right here on 104.9 The Horn. Time to get to some of our off our topics here. We'll get to some on tap here in a second. But first, we got to let you know what's going on with the Flex. The Flex is coming up next. Got my man Zach Lucero out there getting ready for the Flex. And he sent us a text. Actually, Hard, you sent this to us.
Yep.
I'm sure he sent it to you.
Yep.
Westlake wide receiver Heath McCree.
Mm-hmm.
Gonna be on. I just met him, by the way, and I saw him running.
Yes,
a highlight on in track actually.
Yeah,
and then I asked him if he ran track, and I think he runs like a 10.
Yeah, he's on
three
the
he's something.
On that relay team with the other young brother that came
freakish.
In here, and he
oh, and who was also he got a scholarship.
He got a scholarship.
Yeah.
I forgot where it was going, but yeah, and McCree's another one of those guys. His brother plays tight end for USC.
He just got offered, I believe San Diego State offered him.
Mm-hmm.
You ever been to that campus?
Oh, yes.
I know. I've never been, but everybody's told me about that San Diego State campus. And, awesome
and I'm sure another Austin Westlake famous Campbell told San Diego State
that,
they need to look at
uh-huh.
him. TC speaks.
We had Adam Hall, who mm-hmm. was a Westlake quarterback
yep.
who came in 99 with us. He transferred from Texas to San Diego State, I believe.
San Diego State, that's right.
If you can transfer somewhere, San Diego State ain't bad, man.
Ain't nothing but beauty.
It ain't bad. Also, the Flex is going to be awesome because my man Corey Mose is in the building.
See, Mo!
Now, I've asked him, like, I've never seen him wear the same outfit, but he's always... He's all. Some people say it's overdressed, but that's a bad term. Being overdressed is like being overqualified or being overeducated. It's
don't
like,
penalize me because I got
exactly.
swag. Don't penalize me.
Me
no, I'm not
yeah.
overdressed. I'm dressing for me.
Yes, you're dressing for success.
Exactly.
So you can never be overdressed, overeducated, or overqualified. Those
I agree
BS
with that.
Terms. And Corey Mose is all of the above, I guess.
Ding, ding.
He's the man. All right, what's on tap for you, brother?
I'm going to watch some of this track. I got a buddy whose kid is running in the Nationals over here at the University of Texas.
Oh, that's right.
Yep.
Who? What school is he running for?
Texas A&M.
Leave out the details. Patrick, what's on tap for you?
I mean, there's the NBA Finals on.
There is the NBA
I'm
Finals.
I'm checking that out.
That's on tap for me, too. I got Miami Heat winning game three.
I like what you're saying, but I don't believe it. I'm going with the Nuggets.
Ooh, we'll see what Henny's got to say about that tomorrow.
That's right.
Thank you guys for your participation. Remember, the revolution I'll be telling about right here on Ball Don't Lie. We love you guys. We mean that. Take care of yourselves, and more importantly, take care of each other. Peace.